Let us pray. Father, we come before you with all humility, asking that you would do that work in our hearts and life. Oh Lord, turn our face once again to you by your sovereign grace. Work in our hearts, in our lives, to draw near to you. Lord, would you do that work of salvation anew and afresh and again in our midst? And Lord, would you take those who have walked with you for many, many years and make that walk sweet, sweeter than it ever has been. And Lord, we know that you work through means, that you work through your Holy Spirit in our hearts, calling us, calling out, Abba Father, in the midst of those who love your Son, Jesus Christ. And we know also, Lord, that you have ordained your word, revealed it to us. It is life-giving. As we know, great God, here in the desert, after many, many months of drought, when it rains, it blossoms. And we know, Lord, that your word, when it comes to dry and thirsty hearts and souls, when it touches and enters into that heart and soul, it brings abundance and life like never before. You change lives through your word. So I would ask, Lord, that this year would be the year that this people, we are soaked and saturated down to the bone with your precious holy word. That we would gather together to sing your word, that we would pray your word, that we would meditate upon your word, and Lord, that it would do its life-giving work in our hearts and in our lives. We are so thankful that you sent your word, the scripture, Lord, to lead us and to guide us. Oh, Father, we are also thankful that you sent your word made flesh in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. And that how that he perfectly expressed your character, perfectly expressed your will, perfectly expressed your heart towards us. And how was that? He gave his life so that we might live. And so, Lord, we pray that Jesus Christ, the Word of God made flesh, would be the very center of our lives as we live day in and day out. Make this reality true, beginning in these very moments now that we begin to open up your holy word and to feed from it. Lord, let it blossom in our souls today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I would ask that you would take your copy of Scripture and turn over to Acts chapter 16. We will be getting back to Matthew and the Sermon on the Mount and finishing that up and finishing our series through Matthew. But for this year and my particular first sermon that I'm able to preach in this church in 2025, I wanted to, if you will, get back to the basics. I want to go to those things which will be important to us this year and for the rest of our lives. And so the title of this sermon is Our Simple, Sweet, and Very Sure Footing That We Have Found in God's Word. Pop, 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 pop. What is that sound? Could be many things, but in this particular instance, I'm thinking of that treadmill that everybody's running after the first of the year. I mean, they run 100 miles in January and actually go absolutely nowhere. Or maybe it's this. What is that? That's the spin class, right? They're spinning, and they spin 100 miles and never leave the room. Or maybe it's round, 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 round. And what is that? That's that hamster wheel. What do you mean? I mean, he is going to town and not going anywhere at all. And sometimes that's the way our life feels, isn't it? And you go on 100 miles an hour and nothing really changes. You wake up, take a shower, open that Bible, read it, eat that breakfast, run out the door, get you a bite to lunch, make it back home that evening, eat supper, maybe hit that recliner, go to bed, wake up, take that shower, and there we go again. What do they say? Wash, rinse, repeat. Sometimes life feels like that, doesn't it? And you think, what is going on in life? Friends, we need to be reminded about the depth and the breadth and the importance of Christian life, the significance of us. And this morning, my aim, if there's any aim that I have this morning, is to bring back and remind us of the beauty of the very simple, the very sweet, but the very rock solid and sound foundation that God has given us to live by. It's not complicated. Oh, but it's deep and profound, and it will shape your life for all eternity if you follow the way the Lord has woven life together for the Christian. So I want you to see these things. What are these things? These simple, sweet, sound, and solid foundations. Let us remember that God is great and God is good. Let us gather together on a regular basis to give Him glory. Let us gather together to pray with God's people. And let us soak ourselves in God's Word. The very simple, the very sweet, the very solid and sound foundation that we can step into 2025 and know that God will work through these things. I want to read this text of Scripture for us in its entirety, so if you would, stand. I'm going to bring again in Acts chapter 16, verse 6, and make my way all the way down to verse 15. So Acts chapter 16, verse 6. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. Let us pray. Father, I ask that you would take this holy word, which you have given us by the direction of your Holy Spirit and by the pen of Luke himself, that you would allow this word to enter into our ears and into our minds and into our heart and soul and bring that life which it always carries with him. Lord, open up our heart to hear your word this morning. And I ask that you would allow me to fall into the background and that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ himself, would come forth and proclaim this message to his people this morning. I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. To mine the gold of this particular passage, we're going to have to understand where we are in the book of Acts. And so what I want to do is just do a little summary of the missionary journey and the life of Apostle Paul in the book of Acts. Paul, a.k.a. Saul of Tarsus, the Pharisee, the scholar, and the persecutor of Jesus' church. What do you mean persecutor? I mean, he is the man that was standing there holding the coats and consenting when the stones of death were flying and striking Stephen, the first person to die for the name of Christ. That Paul. What Paul are you talking about? I mean that Paul slash Saul that was on a mission up from Jerusalem to Damascus to gather up the Christians in that city and to persecute them and arrest them. That same Paul who was knocked off his horse and struck blind for a few days, but his heart was opened for all eternity to the person of Jesus Christ. That Paul, that Paul that Jesus called to be the apostle, especially to the Gentiles, that Paul who eventually with Barnabas set out on that first missionary journey and made his way up north of Jerusalem and kept on going north from Antioch and into that area of Asia, over into Cyprus, that island as well. And guess what he did? He preached the gospel and churches were planted in those areas. And after a while, Paul and Barnabas made their way down to Jerusalem and they got the blessing of Peter and John and James, these pillars in Jerusalem. And so they go back again. And Paul says, I'm going back. I'm going to strengthen these churches that we have planted. And I'm going to keep preaching the gospel. Lord willing, I'm going to plant more churches in that area. And that's where the first point of this message intersects Paul's life. Remember that God is great and God is good. God is great. What do I mean when I say that? Well, maybe in your mind you're thinking of that children's prayer. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. By his hands we are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. There's some theology in that prayer that a child would pray at mealtime. The same theology that's found in this passage of Scripture. So what do I mean when I say God is great? What I don't mean is God is great like that annual pay raise that you got. That's great, but it's not God great. Or like that homer to left field. That's great, but that's not God great. What am I talking about? By his hand, we are fed. That stalk of wheat that came up out of the ground and bore those kernels that was turned into your toast or bagel this morning, God Almighty was the God who ordained that to be. He is great because he is sovereign over all things. The air that cow breathes that will be your hamburger at lunch, God is the one that put the air in his lungs. Every molecule of it. He is great in the sense that he is sovereign over all things. God is great. That's our God. Now I want you to ask and see how this intersects this passage of Scripture. Where do we see the greatness of God, his sovereign, his rule in the life of Paul? Now remember, Paul wants to preach the gospel. He wants to plant more churches. And the question is, will it be in Phrygia and Galatia? Look at verse 6 of chapter 16 to answer that question. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. It will not be there. Why? Because God is great, and he has closed that door of ministry in that place. He is sovereign over where churches will be planted and where churches will not be planted. Well, what does Paul do once that door is closed? Well, Paul, being Paul, just keeps on pushing hard, right? Well, if not there, how about Mysia and Bithynia? Will the churches be planted there as Paul pushes? Look at verse 7. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Paul is pushing. He is pounding. He is pushing, and he is hitting a rock solid wall. Why? Because God is great, and he is in control of all things, even where Paul will preach the gospel. God is great. Now here's the application. Because God is great, He controls all things. He controls where churches will be planted, where churches will not be planted. He controls open doors, and He controls closed doors. He controls the plans of men. Have you ever had a closed door in your life? Have you ever had a plan that you made that didn't go exactly the way you planned it? God's in control of that. He's in control of the ups and the downs, the joy and the pain of it all. Nothing is outside of His sovereign control. God is great. And that's what we are seeing here, that God is guiding Paul. God is great. But one thing must always be combined with the greatness of God. God is great, and God is always, always good. Don't you ever forget that God is good. How do we see the goodness of God working its way out here in this text? There are times in our life when something happens to you or to somebody that you love, and you are very tempted to ask, why me? Why them? Why now? Why them? Why me? Why now? What's the Bible's answer to that question? Through your ups, through your downs, through your joys, through your pains, through the open doors and through the closed doors, God is working for good for those who love Him. He's accomplishing His plan and His will. That's what Romans 8:28 says. All things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. Now, how do we see that goodness, that truth of God playing out here in Acts chapter 16? Well, let's look and see what happens. Verse 8, so passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. God was at work shutting those doors, and as He was shutting one door, He was opening another. Do you realize what just happened? Paul was called from Asia to Europe, to Macedonia, to the center of civilization for 1,000 years, and Paul was about to preach the gospel there. Philippi, Thessalonia, Athens itself would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because God closed the door here and opened another one there. He was working out His good. Specifically, how was God working out His good? I want you to dig into the text with me for a second and look at some pronouns. Look at verse 8 and 9, or 7, 8, and 9. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. Do you see that pronoun that was repeated? They. Look at verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man in Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, come over to us to Macedonia and help us. Verse 10. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we. You see that? Not they, we. We sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace and the following day to Neapolis. Did you see that? What happened? They went from they to we. What happened at Troas? God closed the door to Asia, told Paul to go to Macedonia, and as you go to Troas. Why? There's somebody there. Who? The man who will write this book. Who? The man who will write the gospel that bears his name, Luke. We hold in our hand the good work of God on that day when he called Paul to Macedonia, because he picked up Luke, and Luke wrote Acts, and Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke. God was working good that even affects us today. What else? What else good's coming out of this? Well, not only Luke do we see, but who else? There's a woman over there. There's a woman in Philippi. And she loves God. And her heart is being prepared to receive the gospel. And Paul will cross that sea and go into Philippi. And on that Sabbath day, he will go down to a river and he will speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lydia will be saved. God is saving a woman. God is good all the time. So as we walk into 2025, we need to rest our head on these two truths. God is great and God is good. You can sleep on that at night. You can walk and live your life by those truths, that God is great and that God is good. That's the first stepping stone that we want to step into 2025 with. And then we want to look at the text and see the next stepping stone. Let us gather and give glory to God. Our next piece of solid ground comes from observing what's happening in Philippi. Now, Philippi is a Roman colony city. What does that mean? Well, Philippi was established in 386 BC by Philip of Macedon. That's Alexander the Great's father. It was walled, and there was a gold mine there near it. And so great wealth come from this city. The Romans conquered it in the 100s BC. And from that time forth, it was a retirement place for Roman soldiers. It was a very Roman town. So if you were a Roman soldier, oftentimes you would retire to Philippi. And another characteristic that we probably see here is that in Philippi, there's a very, very small Jewish population. Why is that? Well, because Paul usually went into the synagogues to preach and teach. But he couldn't at Philippi because it appears that there wasn't one there. And if you look into the Old Testament history, it took about 10 families in order to be able to establish a synagogue. And here there's none. So what does Paul do instead of go to the synagogue? He decides, let's go to that place. Now look with me at verses 12 and 13. And from there, we went to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. And we remained in this city some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. What's happening at Philippi? It's beautiful, isn't it? Small group of women who want to worship the one true God. Not those Roman gods. Not those Greek gods. The one true God of the Scripture. The God of Abraham. The God of Isaac. The God of Jacob. They don't have a building in the middle of the town to do this in. So what do? On the seventh day, they walk outside the gates, go down next to the river, and gather together to praise God, to pray to him, to hear his word if it's available to them. Here they are by the riverside gathering together. Can you imagine the message that telegrammed to that city of Roman war veterans? Women gathering outside and going down to pray. They had a priority in their life, and they were saying it by their actions. What an example to us. They knew the command of God. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Gather together. Find rest for your body and food for your soul. Friends, could we do that? I think one of the most important things that we could do this year is to make the commitment that I'm going to gather with God's people one day out of the seven to sing praises to his name, to pray together as a people, to hear the word of God preached, and just see how God might shape your life with such a commitment. By God's grace, let us do that. Would you step into 2025 and say, I'm going to commit right now, by God's grace, to gather together with God's people. Just taking the example of those few women outside that Roman city down by the river. That's how important it was to them. And I pray that that importance carries over into our hearts and lives today. Yet, that's not the only thing that they had prioritized in their life, the gathering together of God's people to worship. What else did they do? Well, look with me again and look what that place was called, what Paul supposed it was to be. And on the Sabbath day, they went outside the gate to the riverside, this is verse 13, where they supposed there was a place of what? Prayer. They prioritized prayer in their life, which brings us to that third simple, sweet, sound, and solid stepping stone that we should step into 2025 with. Oh, may this year be a life of prayer for us. You gather together so that we might pray together. What would it be like if we were to commit to prayer as a church? It's so simple, isn't it? So simple. Jesus taught us to pray. Jesus bid us to pray. For millennia, God's people has gathered together to pray. Can we commit to pray at home by ourselves? Can we commit to pray together? What does prayer do? Prayer changes your life. Why is that? Because it changes your heart as you pray to God Almighty. It changes your mind the way you think when you pray. God works in that. God gets glory for it too. How does God get glory in prayer? When you take your deepest need and you lay them down at the feet of Almighty God, trusting Him to do something about it, God is glorified because you are placing your trust in Him to work. When you take your greatest desires and you leave them at the feet of God and say, Lord, please accomplish this according to your will, that gives glory to His name. May we be a praying people this year. I want you to pray in your closet. I want you to pray in your car. And I want you to gather together and pray. Every Wednesday, right behind that wall, noon, there's a small group of people who gather together to do what? To pray. Sweetest hour of the week, almost, besides this one, right? And you say, well, Wednesdays at noon doesn't work for me. Every evening, Thursday, 6 p.m., Todd and Shelley's house, there's a small group of people, and what do? They gather together to pray. Now, you might say, well, those doesn't work with my schedule. Well, you just come with me and tell me, this works, and we'll do our best to get a small group of people gathering together to work at your schedule, to do what? To pray. Make 2025 the year of prayer in your life. Brings us to that fourth and final stepping stone that we're going to find from this text of Scripture. I want you to look at verse 13 again. They not only gathered to pray, but look what happens when Paul gets there. Verses 13 and 14. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. Oh, I think it's one of the most beautiful scenes in all of Scripture. You think about it, these ladies had come down to the river, like always, gathered down there outside of Philippi, to what? To gather together and to pray to the one true God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the creator of all things, and the one that they knew that was the true God who they wanted to worship. And Paul came that day by the bidding of Jesus Christ himself to come across the sea. And what does he do? He sits down and he begins to speak. And do you know what he spoke? We know what he spoke because he spoke what God told him to, called them to preach the gospel. the word of God. So Paul sat down on that riverside. Just imagine those ladies around, and Paul begins to tell them, the God that you are worshiping, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the creator of the universe, has sent his son into the world. Why? Out of love. Because God loved the world. What did this son do? He lived life perfectly in every single way. And they crucified him in Jerusalem, you know? And they put him in the tomb, you know? And on the third day, he rose again. And what does that mean? He rose in victory over sin and death and hell. And if you place your faith in him, he will rescue you. He will forgive you of your sins. He will change your life forever. And as Paul was speaking these words, they were literally coming out of his mouth and into the ears of Lydia and into her mind and into her heart. And God was working through the word. What does the text say? Verse 14. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. On that day, the first convert by Paul's preaching in Europe took place. And it was a woman named Lydia by the riverside outside the city of Philippi. That's what the word does. Why should I make the word important in my life? Because that is what the word of God does in our lives. Have you ever, or do you remember, taking a bath for way too long? Or maybe being in the swimming pool way too long, and as you're there for way longer than you're supposed to, you look at those fingers, and what does those fingers look like? Pruned, right? Wrinkled up raisins on the end of my fingers. Why? And my mom would say something like this, well, you are soaked to the bone, right? Soaked all the way through. You're saturated. Friends, could we saturate ourselves with the word of God this year? I mean, soak in it. I mean, let it get down to your soul so that when you look at your heart and your soul, it's all wrinkly. Why? Because it's saturated with the word of God. Can 2025 be the year that you are soaked in God's word? This practically, what does that mean? We're at the very beginning of the year. Get you a reading plan that takes you all the way through this scripture in a year. You commit to that. It will change your life. Get you a buddy, a partner, to say, I'm going to do it with you. And you two keep yourself together, because sometimes you get off pace. You hit Leviticus, and you say to yourself, what's going to happen here? And you need somebody to say, I'm having a hard time too. Let's keep going. But if you soak yourself and saturate yourself with God's word this year, it will change your life. It's so simple. It's so profound at the same time. So these are the stepping stones that we want to step out into 2025 with. Remember, God is great. God is good. Lay your head down on that pillow every night. Number two, gather together with God's people. Make that a priority and a commitment in your life, and it will shape you in ways that you will never, ever know. Number three, commit to prayer. Pray at home, pray by yourself, pray in that car, and come together and pray with the people of God. Number four, soak yourself with God's word. These are the simple, sweet, solid, and sound stepping stones that we want to step into 2025 with and beyond. Let us pray. Oh, Father, I ask that you would do a great work in our life, that you would change our hearts, that you would change our lives by these very simple, sweet, solid, and sound steps, by remembering who you are, the sovereign God of the universe, who has a heart of love, by remembering what we are called to do, to gather together, to give you glory, because you are great and you are good, to give to you our deepest hearts and longings and our deepest needs in prayer. Lord, let this year be a year of prayer for us. And Lord, I pray that you would change each and every one of us through the life-giving word. Just like the water brings life in the desert, so your word brings life to our souls. Lord, let us be saturated and soaked in your word this year. Lord, I ask that you would do that in my own heart, in my own life, in the heart of my family, in the heart of this church family. Let us walk into 2025 with these very simple, very sweet, very solid and sound steps. I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.